Companies can now get into trouble if they let fees eat away at employee retirement accounts. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a unanimous ruling, has told employers they have to be more careful with employee retirement plans and have made it easier for workers to sue. With me with more on this is Marketplace's Sabri Benashour. Sabri, what's sparked this case?
Workers and former workers for Edison International, it's a utility company in California, they said their employer was putting their money in mutual funds with high fees. And the workers said, why are you doing that? You are a big-time 401k investor. You have special access to funds with lower fees. You're not taking care of our money.
Yeah, and over time, high fee versus low fee can mean success or failure for our retirement savings. What did the Supreme Court say?
Well, they didn't actually declare a winner in that fight over fees. What they did do is lay out some ground rules for employers running a 401k. And to put it simply, employers cannot just set it and forget it. They have to monitor retirement plans to make sure they aren't acting carelessly with workers' savings. And the Supreme Court also made it a little easier for workers to sue if that's not happening. Basically, they made the statute of limitations more flexible.
Will this make our fees lower?
We'll go talk to HR later.
HR, all right.
In general, employers will just have to be more careful with their workers' money. We don't exactly know what that means. This case is being sent back to lower courts to figure out the specifics, but this will mean more legal and regulatory attention focused on retirement plans.
All right. Marketplace's Sabri Benashour, thank you very much. The director of the U.S. Congressional Budget Office, Keith Hall, is testifying before the Senate this morning. It's his first appearance since taking the helm of the nonpartisan agency in early April. And maybe we should play some Duran Duran to get you in the mood, in that 80s mood, because these are the first oversight hearings for the CBO in over three decades. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
The Senate's Budget Committee wants to talk to Director Keith Hall about what else? His budget. Just checking in on the new guy in the year ahead. Hall's not there to weigh the merits of different policies. For example, whether to raise the federal minimum wage. He's previously said that could cost jobs. Phil Joyce is a professor of public policy at the University of Maryland.
I heard somebody at CBO once say, if you ask us how much something costs, we'll tell you how much it costs. If you ask us whether it's a good idea, we'll tell you how much it costs.
In fact, Joyce says it's often members of the director's own party who are most disappointed with the agency's reports. Douglas Holtz Aiken led the CBO from 2003 to 2005.
It was very much like being the referee in a college basketball game. There's always a coach standing on the sidelines screaming at the referee, and it's not usually over what call the referee just made. It's over the next call. Can we soften him up for the next call?
He says knowing partisan Washington is looking over your shoulder gives lots of motivation to get those calls right. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
U.S.-based car makers are struggling to keep their businesses going in Russia as that country's economy stalls. As Russell Padmore, a business reporter with our partner broadcaster, the BBC, found out, the big names in Detroit are not the only ones feeling the cold winds of Russia's troubled economy.
The impact of economic sanctions over Moscow's involvement in Ukraine and the huge drop in the price of oil have put a big dent in the Kremlin's budget. The Russian economy depends heavily on exporting oil, but crude is selling at half the price it traded at a year ago. Consumers have reined in spending on cars as the value of the Russian ruble dived, making foreign goods more expensive. The French carmaker Peugeot Citroën has stopped production at a Russian factory it runs in partnership with the Japanese group Mitsubishi. Ford is resisting pressure to scale back, hoping to ride out the storm. But General Motors is cutting production at its Russian operations. GM Vice President Mark Roos is determined to scotch rumors they could pull out of Russia.
Well, I mean, we're not pulling out of Russia. We're just stopping production there and restructuring the business for the environment that we're in right there. That's all.
The Kremlin plans to offer financial support to help the Russian car industry, but Volkswagen is already laying off workers at its plant in Kaluga. VW sales in Russia dropped 27% in the first 2 months of this year compared to last year. SEAT, the Spanish arm of the German car giant, has already abandoned plans for investment in Russia. Jürgen Stackmann is the chairman of SEAT.
The legal system in Russia prevents big growth importing cars into Russia, so you have to manufacture locally, and with a big risk politically and with a big risk specifically on the currency swings we have currently in Russia, it did not really make economic sense to invest long-term at this moment in time. So we pulled out because the risk was far higher than the opportunity.
In January and February, Russian factories produced 215,000 cars, about 80% of output over the same period last year. Russian car production is on the road to a decline of more than 20% this year. And as the economy drives closer to recession, the loss of foreign investment is worrying the Kremlin. In London, I'm the BBC's Russell Padmore for Marketplace.
There's also news from Britain this morning that prices at the consumer level there went down, not up. That is known as deflation, but there's deflation and there is deflation. Britain's finance minister today said the UK is not facing damaging deflation. Lower oil prices are a big part of this. Now, Starbucks used to be that noted purveyor of Yanni CDs that tended to lurk by the cash register. Now, the coffee chain has ended CD sales. It's teaming up with the music streaming company Spotify to, among other things, allow Starbuckers with loyalty cards to influence the in-store playlists. And if customers are really grooving to the vibe in their caffeinated hyper state, they can use Spotify to continue to listen to the Starbucks playlist after they leave the Starbucks. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.